Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. This year's diminished corn crop is pushing corn prices to new heights. That's a big concern for livestock producers watching feed prices go the same way. The federal government is under pressure to curb corn prices by suspending the ethanol mandate. In fact, the Environmental Protection Agency is taking public comment on the idea right now. But, as Grant Gerlach of Harvest Public Media reports, it's not an easy answer.
On Highway 77 north of Beatrice, Nebraska, is the Beatrice 77 sale barn. Inside the steel building, wooden bleachers lead down to a white corral. A small crowd watches from the back as a few cattle enter the ring and the auctioneer starts his chant.
Well, when corn prices go up, the cost of game to put on a pound of beef is drastic.
Dennis Henricks is co-manager of Beatrice 77. Usually in August, they sell cattle every other Monday. This year, cattle producers are downsizing their herds to save money, and Henricks is having a sale every week.
So it's going to be 3 to 4 times larger than last August, and again, it goes back to drought.
10 years ago, 11 billion bushels of corn would have been a record. This year, it's a disaster. Bruce Babcock is an ag economist at Iowa State University.
Even though 11 billion bushels corn crop is high by historic standards, it sure doesn't come close to meeting the need of 13 billion bushels that is potentially out there. So clearly something has to give.
Livestock groups like the cattlemen and pork producers say if something has to give, it should be the ethanol industry.
If you're a livestock producer, you want as low a feed cost as you can get. The problem is the only tool that the U.S. government has to help lower feed costs is really giving a waiver.
A waiver of the renewable fuel standard. The RFS requires that oil refiners mix a certain amount of ethanol with gasoline each year, 13.2 billion gallons in 2012. The argument goes if you skip the RFS, you use less corn for ethanol and bring down corn prices. Ag economists say a waiver would at least make a small difference over the next year. Babcock says it would save around 58 cents per bushel. A group from Purdue University estimates anywhere from 44 cents to $1.34. Back at the Beatrice sale barn, I ran into Devin Shirkina, who grows seed corn and raises cattle near Beaver Crossing, Nebraska. He's younger and wears tennis shoes instead of boots.
Our pastures are grazed down there's just nothing out there.
The price for the corn syrup he mixes into cattle feed has more than doubled. There are still some calves at home, but the last of its 90 cows came into the sale barn.
Weaned all of our calves. We still have our calves at home, but sold all of our cows. And so what little grass we do have left, we're kind of saving it for them to munch on here for the next couple months.
Shirkina says if it rains and prices come down, maybe he can rebuild his herd. And that's the appeal being made by livestock groups. If a waiver would bring down corn prices, maybe more cattle, poultry, dairy, and pork producers can hold on until the drought's over. But the nation's top ag official is standing by the RFS.
The market's working. Let it work.
U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack told the American Coalition for Ethanol at a meeting in Omaha earlier this month, demand for corn can adjust to the supply.
When ethanol production is going to use 500 million bushels less than they anticipated 2 months ago, that's obviously the market responding. If livestock is going to use less, if exports are going to be less, that seems to me like the market is responding.
And Vilsack says there is flexibility in the RFS. Ethanol companies can scale back and use less corn. Oil companies have enough credits from past years to make up the difference. But flexibility may only go so far. Ag economist Bruce Babcock says besides rain, the real X factor here is the oil industry. It's possible demand for ethanol would be the same with or without a government mandate. If that's true, a waiver would make no difference.
oil companies have configured their refineries over the last 2 to 4 years to produce a lower octane gasoline that they then blend with 10% ethanol to bring the octane up to regular gasoline, 87 octane in most of the United States.
Refining oil to a lower octane and finishing with ethanol saves money. Changing that would take months.
The last thing the ethanol industry or the corn industry wants is for them to actually divest themselves of the ability to use ethanol. So it's going to be interesting to see, if a waiver is granted, the extent to which the oil companies are going to back off their use of ethanol. And nobody except the oil companies really know that.
The EPA is responding to a request from the governors of Arkansas and North Carolina asking for an RFS waiver. The agency has until November 13th to judge whether keeping the mandate in place would cause severe economic harm. By then, the corn harvest will be over, and it will be more clear what kind of disaster the drought has caused and how flexible the system can be. I'm Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.
A new disease has been found in Missouri. That's according to a report out of the current issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. The virus, named the Heartland virus, was first observed in two northwest Missouri farmers. Scott Folk is the director of infectious diseases at Heartland Regional Medical Center in St. Joseph and is a co-author on the study. He first diagnosed the two farmers with a bacterial disease called ehrlichiosis, which symptoms include fever, muscle fatigue, headache, and nausea.
But these two patients, what set them apart was the fact that they were very, very slow to get better. It took a while for their fevers to resolve and for their low white blood cell count to come up, their low platelet count to come up, and their liver test to start to improve.
Folks sent blood samples to microbiologist William Nicholson at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Nicholson says he tested the two blood samples.
And we did not obtain Ehrlichia isolates as we had hoped. However, we did see changes in the cell culture that suggested we had something else.
That something else turned out to be a new virus that was genetically related to others that spread through ticks and other insects. Indeed, both farmers got tick bites shortly before they were hospitalized. But Folk says more testing needs to be done before any conclusions are made.
Until we know a little bit more about the symptoms, it's hard to predict what patients should expect in the future. I think the thing that we're telling them right now is if they have been bitten by ticks and they develop symptoms, the first step is to see their healthcare provider, who then can evaluate them and, if need be, contact the local state health department for possible referral of specimens onto the CDC for further analysis.
Folk and Nicholson say they're working with the state health department to learn more about how the disease is transmitted and about the animals that carry it in nature. And that's it for this week's Under the Microscope. Thanks for listening. Just a reminder that you can listen to this episode and others by visiting our website, kbia.org.